All right, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together this morning to celebrate. Father, thank you for this place of worship where we're able to fellowship together as family, to break bread on a time like this, a moment to celebrate our Lord and Savior's birth. He was born with a purpose ordained from eternity past by you, Father, that we're so grateful for. It's indescribable. We do pray for those in the congregation that can't be here to celebrate with us. We ask your healing hand be upon them and you return them to the fold. Father, we're just so humbled and grateful for your son's work on the cross. That is what you sent him to do, is why he was born. We do just ask for your blessings on this morning's message. May it be edifying for our souls. We ask this in Jesus Christ's precious name. By the power of the Spirit, we do pray. Amen. So this is the Christmas special. You know, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he's coming again. And that's a glorious reality for all of us to just grab hold of. He's coming again. The time is imminent. We don't know when, but as the Bible says, it's imminent. Could happen tonight. Wouldn't that be amazing? And he will rule again as father of his people. Go to Isaiah 9:2, where we catch this. This is our future, my friends. He's coming back. Isaiah 9:2, the prophecy of this very thing. Isaiah 9:2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle, tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. Verse 6, for to us a child is born, and that is a reference to Jesus Christ. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So that's the prophecy regarding our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And given all the emphasis lately from the pulpit on the topic of Old Testament perspective regarding God's salvific plan, it's easy to see how the perspective we're being given from the Spirit dovetails perfectly into our message this morning. Go to John 1, verse 1. John 1, verse 1. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, only the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." The birth of Jesus Christ was not only a miracle, given he was born of the Holy Spirit, but it was a miracle because God became a man. That's an unfathomable statement from rational man's perspective. Nonetheless, it's 100% true. Go to John 3:16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So, arguably, the greatest miracle seems to be that God would love any of us enough to save us. Dwell on that. God would love any of us enough to save us. So let us remember the so-called reason for the season and the purpose of God sending His only begotten Son to die on a cross for us and be resurrected too. Let us remember how incredibly gifted we are in Christ Jesus. Especially in light of all the presents and the so-called gift giving that goes on during this time of year. My friends, there's only one gift worth focusing on. Go to 2 Corinthians 9:15. 2 Corinthians 9:15. This is the gift worth focusing on. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift, and that's our Lord. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. So let's recount the birth of our Lord and Savior from Holy Scripture now. And as we try to always do here at North Christian Church, let us gain valuable perspective, first from Mary and then from Joseph. Go to Luke 1:26. Luke 1:26. Luke 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." And look at verse 37. "For nothing will be impossible with God." And just think about how much emphasis we've received in our primary course of study on this topic when it comes to God's salvific plan, miraculous work is at the forefront. In the case of Jesus' conception, man could not be a part of it. As good of a man as Joseph was, he couldn't be the father, because he'd soil the Lord's flesh. So God, the Holy Spirit, miraculously stepped in. Miraculously stepped in. In verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. And that's where you get the so-called virgin birth. Again, when it comes to God's salvific plan, miraculous work is at the forefront. Up here on the board, Mark 10:27, from our studies as of late, Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. Had man been any part of what we just read, it wouldn't have been possible. So man had to be taken out. Again, the angel said to Mary, verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And so Mary accepted in humility this miracle. So that gives us Mary's perspective regarding the birth of Jesus. Let's turn our attention to Joseph's now. Go to Matthew 1, verse 18. Matthew 1, verse 18. Matthew 1, 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Quote, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Verse 24. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So with that valuable perspective from the earthly parents of Jesus, let's continue on with the full story of his birth. Go to Matthew 2, verse 1. Matthew 2, verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen, when it rose, went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. I want to end the way we began this morning with the prophetic word of God given to the Old Testament saints regarding this Lord and Savior of ours, and such is the beauty of Holy Scripture. We can go back to before Jesus was even born to gain understanding of God's will in sending his only begotten Son, a la John 3:16. Go to Isaiah 52:13. Isaiah 52, verse 13. Isaiah 52:13. "Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. And I'll close with this up here on the board. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for reminding us from Holy Scripture, from the Word itself, who our Lord is and why you sent him. Thank you for reminding us of your love, how precious and unfathomable it truly is. Thank you for giving us this miracle to behold and the humility to embrace it for all we are. Father, we're so grateful to you. For all of eternity, we shall worship you gladly. We're just so blessed to be here this morning as a result of this miraculous work that you've worked in us. We're forever grateful to you. We just ask for continued humility and faith as we continue to grow in your grace and knowledge, Father. We ask this in Jesus Christ's precious name. By the power of the Spirit, we do pray. Amen. Okay, Nick, you can kill the video.